Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you here this morning. Our teaching format is different today. I'll explain that in a moment. But before I talk about that, just a few more items of appreciation because of your generosity and your faithfulness here at Cornerstone. On Christmas Eve, I mentioned about how we were able to help out with our wounded warriors at Bethesda Naval Hospital and also to help with some of that construction of that home for widows in Kiev, Ukraine. And then a few more things, too, that you all were about at the close of this year. The Salvation Army Angel Tree, we handed out a lot of those so that you could take home and buy gift bags for children or seniors. The Loudoun County Salvation Army, sponsoring this, they had, at the beginning, 892 children and senior adults that they wanted to help. So they had 892 of those little cutout angels. Cornerstone Chapel, out of 892, we took 500 of those and filled those baskets for our county. Pete and Cindy Russo had it on their hearts to deliver coats to the homeless and those in need in Washington, D.C. So we asked you to bring in your new and gently used overcoats, and almost 300 coats came in, and so that was distributed, so we're thankful about that. Last Sunday, of course, church was canceled, the blizzard of 2009, and then we were supposed to last Sunday night have a dinner here at the church for 55 residents and staff of Good Shepherd Alliance, which is a ministry to the homeless and those in need of transitional housing. And so that's going to happen tonight. We're going to feed 55 of them tonight here at our church, and we also are going to be handing out $1,000 worth of gift cards. A little belated Christmas because of the snowstorm, but gift cards to Target so they can spend and have some extra stuff there. And then finally, even our children's ministry jumped in on this generous spirit at Christmas time. One of our volunteers for Wednesday night CKC ministry in our children's department is Matt Forries. He was called up to Iraq, where he presently is right now. So our children's ministry put together six big boxes, care packages for Matt's unit, and sent them over to Iraq, and they were happy about that. I understand that the chocolate was devoured first, something that I'm sure they don't see there much. So let's just give the Lord praise for all of that. Now, this morning, as we've been doing for the past 5 or 6 or so years now, I've lost track, but the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's we have as a time for question and answers, and we asked as many as possible to submit your questions in advance, so the other pastors have joined me. They're going to be answering some of those questions that were submitted in advance. They've been doing their homework and researching some of your questions, and then we also want to make available the floor for you to ask questions on the fly, and I'll be helping out with those. So there are two microphones on the floor, one by each pillar, kind of midway in the sanctuary. And if you have a question, the only way I'll know is if you stand behind the microphone. And so we're going to take turns alternating because we want to be faithful to the people that submitted their questions in advance. So if I see somebody standing, we'll take a question from the floor, and then we'll do one up here, somebody from the floor, one up here, and back and forth. And that'll be the format for our service today. So let's pray first before we get started. Lord, as we just desire to understand you and your word more, I thank you for the flock here at Cornerstone, hungry for your word, hungry for knowing more about you. What does your word say? What does the Bible say on various things? And we don't have answers in and of ourselves. All the answers are in you. And we thank you, Father, that you've revealed yourself through the pages of your word. And we pray as we answer some of these questions and as we give biblical responses that you'll be glorified in all that is asked and all that is said here today. We do it all for your glory and for your honor. And we pray, Father, as we begin a new year together this week, that you will bless this coming year. Thankful are we, Lord, for all of your many blessings of this past year. You're so good to us. And we just pray you would continue to watch over us, to care for us, to provide for us in this coming year. We're grateful for your blessings and for your love for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, Bible questions only, please. We don't have answers for other things. I don't know how much health care is going to cost. I don't know. But we'll start up here, and then if you have a question, you can pop up and ask.
All right, first question. When you die, how old will you be in heaven? For example, if a child dies at age 3, will they be 3 years old in heaven, and will they be recognized? There's no real way to know what age we'll be in heaven. The best guess that that I have is that we'll be 30 years old. Jesus was, it's just a guess. Jesus was 30 when he entered his ministry. You can look in the Old Testament, 30 seems to be significant. King David was 30 when he entered, became king. Saul that was age 30 when he became king. So maybe 30 years old would be the age of adulthood, and that would be the age that, someone would be. Obviously, that seems old to someone who is 3 or 10 or 15, but to some of us, 30 doesn't seem that old. I don't know. So that might be a good thing. And definitely, you'd be able to recognize him. I think we can assume that you'll be recognizable in heaven. Jesus, when he came back after the resurrection, he was recognizable. Elijah and Moses were recognized after the transfiguration. So the best guess is that we will be able to recognize others and our loved ones in heaven.
Bottom line is probably some kind of universal age that we'll all be. I don't know if it's 30 or not, but I mean, think about how Adam was created as an adult. So some universal age we will probably all be. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is regarding women in pastorship and leadership in church. Many churches have taken to different interpretations for their mission statements and whatnot. And in some churches, we see women in leadership now. And in others, it's very specific what roles they can take. So my question was, what is it? And is it open to interpretation? Good luck with that one.
Thanks.
A well-wisher.
Yeah. Is this a trap?
She just shot you and ran.
Wow. All right. Well, go ahead and take it, Mike. No.
I'll shoot you and run.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is one of those questions that's a little delicate because the last thing that we would want anybody to feel is like there's some kind of second-class citizen. And in this case, that would be the potential for women to feel if they are not supposed to be in positions of leadership. And yet there are some churches where they ordain women in ministry, some churches where women are part of the elder board. So, you know, what is our interpretation and what is our position here at Cornerstone? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12 says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. Now that sounds kind of cruel, but it goes on to talk about how, for Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not the one deceived, it was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. So, wow, I mean, that's women saved through childbearing, and that's where